Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again today for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do pray that as we do read your word and Lord, again, cover a section that, Lord, maybe even this section might be tougher on us than what we've already been reading. And I pray that, Lord, we would have ears to hear, that mostly, God, we would want to know what you have to say, believe what you have to say, and then act on what you have to say. So I pray that, Lord, again, this would be a great, great time for us in your presence. And God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would guide us and convict us and encourage us and strengthen us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we continue on here, kind of last week, you know, you kind of look at that, and that was sort of a difficult topic and difficult section to go through dealing with some of those sins. But realistically, I think this message is harder because now we move from the sins that are list of sins to, well, we might even call it secret sins, but bottom line, it's hypocrisy. And so I believe we can sweep and catch a whole lot more people in today's message in the church with this whole idea of hypocrisy. Maybe last week, even as we were going through those, you were smugly sitting there going, well, that's not me. Well, then today's for you. You know, today is the day you have been waiting for that you're going to get it. So it's going to be a little bit serious today. So I'm going to start off with a couple little humorous stories so that we can kind of get that out of the way and then get into the serious stuff, because it is going to be serious. And listen, the first one is a story. Some kids in Boston, Massachusetts, the little boys are gathered around and they found this puppy and they're gathered around it. And a priest walks up and he says, hey, boys, what are you doing? And they go, we found this stray dog and we decided whoever can tell the biggest lie gets to take it home. That was their test for who gets the stray dog. And the priest looks at him and he goes, really? He goes, that's disgusting, boys. He goes, when I was your age, I would have never thought of lying to get a dog. And the boys looked at each other. And then one of them turned to him and said, you win, you get the dog. So, a little hypocrisy. See, it has something to do with the message, too. It's just not, oh, and then this other one's better. A lady, listen, she's trying to catch her plane and, you know, held up at TSA and how all that goes. And she's kind of trying to, and it's boarding, and she runs by a kiosk and grabs a magazine and grabs a bag of cookies and gets on the plane, sits down, and she has a seat where she's on the aisle, and then there's a guy in the window, nobody in between them. And so, man, they take off. And after they get up in the air, she's hungry, and she reaches over and opens her bag of cookies and eats one. And the guy next to the window reaches in and grabs a cookie and eats one. And she, like, looked at him. And so she reached in, grabbed another one, ate it. He reached in, grabbed another one, ate it. She's, like, thinking, dude, why are you eating my cookies? And he looked in, there was only one left, so he took it out, broke it in half, and gave her half, and he ate the other half. And by now, she's pretty disgusted and pretty upset. After she lands and she's going to get her bags, she reaches in her purse and pulls out her bag of cookies. So, judging, right? That's what this is all about. So that kind of sets us up. Now we're sort of in a mood to get slapped around a little bit by the Holy Spirit as we read this. And listen, I do believe that we all, if we're really, really honest, and we just get down and serious and really, really honest, we all tend to judge people. We all maybe even have in our minds, we have our, you know, criteria of the really, really bad, you know, bad people. I think of, you know, Hitler would be one, the people who attacked on 9/11, Charles Manson, you know, people like James Holmes, the person who shot the people in Aurora, just things like that. We think those are bad people. And then maybe even at the same time, we have really, really good people like Billy Graham. You know, I always think of him as a really great man. Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes. And then, you know, Chuck Smith, because whenever you would talk to Chuck, and if you got face to face with him, and I had the opportunity a few times to have a conversation, he kind of looked right through you into your soul as he would talk to you. Those are like really good people, you know what I mean? And then there's just people like us. And we kind of have that criteria, but here's the question. Who makes the criteria? Well, if we're honest, we do, right? It's our criteria. It's the way we've set it up. And see, that's the danger that we can fall into, I think especially, maybe more than anybody else, as believers. We've got to be careful. So yeah, chapter 1, 18 through the end of the chapter, yeah, listed some stuff that are sins that, bottom line, all of us got saved out of those to some extent, and some of us are still doing those to some degree or another, and we understand that, but sometimes we just get a little bit smug, and we start thinking, well, I'm okay, and here's what you need to know, you're not okay. So Paul, listen, Paul says, therefore, did you notice in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, so therefore is drawn a conclusion, what I just said from 18 to 32, now he says, therefore, listen what he says, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Listen, I think Paul really kind of gets up in our face, right? I think he like really hits us and says, listen, who are you to judge other people? Now, we have to be careful. Because there's a lot of time, people, you know, some of the passages that even, quote, unbelievers, quote, you know, judge not lest you be judged. And maybe this one, listen, of course we need to recognize sin. Come on. We need to know so we can stay away from it, that we understand that. Of course we need to see that. Of course we need to be discerning. I think of course we need to be careful what we get involved with. Paul's not talking about that. What he's talking about here, when he's talking about judging, he's saying you've already judged them, convicted them, and condemned them. That whole idea of condemnation that you've come up with. And here's what he's saying. Why do you, old man, you're without excuse. Why do you judge others when you're doing the same thing? Now listen carefully. When he says same thing, he doesn't mean we're doing the exact things on that list. Here's what he's saying. Who are you to judge somebody for sinning when you yourself are sinning? Oh. Now most of us in here, well not most of us, all of us in here can wear that, right? And why do we go around and do that? It's because we have this flesh. We have to battle against our flesh. But Paul's trying to prove a point. Listen, he's not talking about salvation here, the issue of salvation. He's talking about the issue of judging and bottom line, judgment from God. So he says, who are you, O man, to do that? Why do you do that? And then I love it. Listen, he kind of sandwiches in between the two sort of rebukes. He says, listen, we all know that the judgment of God, listen, is according to truth. God has no standard except his standard, which is truth. And you and I need to understand that's the standard by which everything should be measured. And I believe, listen, when I talk to individuals and they will tell me, I don't think that's wrong. And I go, why don't you think that's wrong? Well, because I don't think it's wrong. Well, what standard are you using? I don't know. But I just don't think it's wrong. And I go, well, you got to have some kind of standard. Listen, if we're all going to play in this sandbox together, we have to know the rules and we have to know the standards, right? And the standard can't keep shifting and changing according to who comes in the sandbox and who leaves the sandbox. The standard, listen, here's what he says. God judges by truth. You might remember that. You might, you know, kind of put that in the back of your mind as you think about others. God's standard is truth. And he says, listen, we know that he judges, that his, whenever he judges, it's according to truth. Against those who practice such things. Once again, not even talking about salvation. We know, hopefully you know, that your sin is sin, whether you're in Christ or outside of Christ. It's still sin according to God's truth. It doesn't change. Listen, I think some Christians think that automatically because we're a Christian, all of our sin is whitewashed. It's not whitewashed. It's still sin. It's still dirty. It's still funky. Right? And listen, some of us, we get so funky, we get out of the funk, we shake and get it on everybody else, right? Like a dog that plays in the mud. And then I tell people, man, don't shake near me. I don't want your funk. I got my own funk to deal with. I don't want your funk, right? And so Paul says, listen, you got to keep that in mind. And you have to understand that. You have to know that. And then once again, and do you think, oh man, in the verse 3, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, you really think you're going to escape judgment? You're not. I kind of like this talking about judgment because I think it's a reality we all need to understand. And even as Christians, listen, Christians go, I don't have to worry about that. You know, that is true if you're trusting in Christ. But some people who claim Christianity aren't trusting in Christ. They're trusting in church attendance. They're trusting in, this may sound bizarre, reading their Bible. They're trusting in the amount of time they pray. They've not put their faith in Christ, and therefore they're going to be judged, as we're going to read later on, according to their works. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to get judged according to my works. I want to get judged according to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, who died for my sins and took my place. I want that to be my judgment. So Paul's saying, listen, in or out of Christ, judgment is coming. Our judgment, if you're in Christ, will be judged or has been really already judged on him. So Paul is kind of laying out a thing. Don't get so uppity and think you're all that. Who was it? In Matthew chapter 23, if you're not familiar with that, go back and read it. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talked about the hypocrites. And he had his harshest words. We talked about it a little bit last week. He had his harshest words for hypocrites. Not even for the woman caught in adultery, not for, you know, the other woman who was living with a man who came to the well. Not harsh words there, and we're going to look at this in a minute, but he had harsh words for hypocrites. Why? Because hypocrites pretend they're something they're not. And then they act like everybody else is lower than them. And so Paul says here, listen, you are not going to escape judgment. Listen, in our world, in our country, and I believe most countries, but especially in our world, there are so many ways to escape judgment, right? You can hide after you've done something and they can't catch you. That's not true with God. Do you know you can't hide from God? Or nobody ever finds out. Any of you ever break the law and nobody ever found out? You got away with it. And we kind of think that way with God because he doesn't maybe do something right away. We think, oh, got away with that. Oh, you did not. I shared before with you guys. I remember as a kid one time, I stole a turtle out of a five and dime store. If you don't know what that is, Google it. I guess it was a 1960s version of a dollar store. They had little turtles. I don't know if you remember. That was the era. They had little turtles. They would say, yeah, some of you are, yeah. They had little turtles, and you'd get a little turtle cage, I guess, a little plastic turtle thing, put the turtle. They were little bitty guys. And I wanted a turtle, and I didn't want to pay for it, so I stole it. Never got caught. I hope they don't come and get me now. But. And I remember I got out the back door and got in the alley, and yes, I got my turtle. And I looked at it. It was dead. I stole a dead turtle. All I did was clean their turtle cage for them, you know, and get rid of the junk. I'm thinking, what a ripoff, man. And it's like, can I have a refund? My turtle's dead. I couldn't go back in and tell them because I stole the thing. Listen, and sometimes we think we get away with it, right? But you don't get away with it with God. You cannot hide from God. You cannot get away with it. Everyone, listen, he says, do you really think you're going to escape judgment? And I think that's what's wrong with our world, don't you? I think people believe I'm not going to get judged. It's not going to happen. And listen, I don't care how many times you tell yourself something isn't going to happen. It's not going to make it go away. God is going to judge. I've read Revelation. He's coming back, and there's the great white throne, and there will be judgment, period. It is coming. And there are some, I know, who think, well, I really don't care, and I hear people say this, I'd rather go to hell because I'm going to party there. Obviously, you do not understand God's punishment, and you do not understand the wrath of God. So, you know, a couple mistakes people make, I believe, in doing this. Here's what we begin to think, and we begin to not understand the severity or the greatness of God's judgment and what that means, nor do we understand the severity and greatness of sin. And so Paul is trying to get that point across as he's talking about, once again, remember what our theme is? Do you remember? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, then for the Greek. Remember that? Listen, the salvation can only be great if you're being saved from something so horrific that you're pulled out of that. So listen, Paul is trying to get that across. And then I love this. Look what he says in verse 4. In verse 4 is one of my favorite verses. I say that a lot, I know. But look, check out verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? Listen, I love this whole idea as he lays this out and lets us know that, listen, it's the goodness, or some of your translations say kindness. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And you and I need to understand, here's what he's letting us know. And this is kind of a little bit of brightness in the midst of the yuck that we have to walk through. And he says, listen, do you despise, I love this, do you despise the riches? When he talks about riches, that means the abundance, right? Do you despise the abundance of God's kindness, of God's forbearance, of God's long suffering? Do you because here's what's going on. You don't have a clue of that stuff when you're acting all smug and self-righteous. And we need to understand God's kindness. Listen to me. God's kindness, as he does that, it's the benefits that God gives us. Every single day, we benefit from God. And we need to recognize that. And then I love it. He says, not only that, do you have the kindness of God or the goodness of God? He says, listen, you also despise how greatly he pours out his forbearance, his tolerance. Just because you got away with it doesn't mean that it's not coming. God is patient. Why? Because he wants us to come to repentance, right? And then, listen, I think the long-suffering has to do with dealing with the other two and being, I don't like the word long-suffering. I like the word patient better, because some people think long-suffering, yeah, I'm suffering long, you know, and kind of type thing. Listen, I think it's more patient. God is patient with us, and he's patient, and he doesn't, listen, his tolerance, he's patient in his tolerance. He's patient in his benefits. And do we despise those? Well, I think you do when you presume upon your own goodness and not God's goodness. And he's saying, listen, or do you not know? And I love that. Listen, do you not know that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance? I don't know about you guys, but what really drew you to the Lord? What made you want to know him? Was it because somebody preached some fire and brimstone, you know, hellfire message, and you kind of felt the flames on your toes and went, man, I don't want that? Or was it the kindness of God? Was it the fact that God would love you so much that he would die on the cross and give himself for you? Was it more that aspect, or was it the other? I believe more people are drawn to the Lord through the kindness of God rather than just talking about the fire and brimstone. I remember before I got saved, we had a person who had been witnessing to my wife and I. And I believe Gaynell had already given her heart to the Lord by then. It was kind of, you know, there was kind of this whole group of people trying to get me saved. It took a village to get this guy saved. So listen, there's a whole group of people conniving and figuring out. And we were up in Phoenix at the Mill Avenue Street Fair. We were still involved in our pottery business and with this lady. And we were at the street fair. And I remember I was sitting on the curb kind of watching. They were having a little parade during the fair. And this one Christian group went by that I'm not going to name the name, but listen, they're very, very, very strong evangelistically, kind of in your face and letting you know you're going to go to hell if you don't accept Jesus, and sort of that type of outreach going on. And they were going along and they're totally in my face. And this guy comes up and he starts talking to me. And he goes, do you know you're going to go to hell if you don't know Jesus? And I said, you know, I don't really want to talk to you. You know, I just don't want to hear what you have to say. And he just kept going, and he kept going. And I thought, would you leave me alone? Finally, I turned my back to him, and he still kept going, telling me what a dirty, horrible individual I was. Now, he was accurate. But it sure wasn't drawing me to want to know Jesus. And I remember I finally said something. I can't remember what I said. And he left. And I thought, I'm so glad. And the lady who had been witnessing to us came over. And I'll never forget, man. She goes, hey, Pat. She goes, that was pretty gross, wasn't it? I go, oh, it was horrible. It was horrible to sit through that. She goes, yeah, that guy was pretty harsh and pretty ornery. And I said, yeah, he was. And then she said this. Isn't it interesting, out of all of the people at this street fair, he picked you to talk to. The kindness of God, right? Right? Coming up, and she picked it up. Listen, that happened years ago. It's still embedded in my memory, you know, of her coming and salvaging that and bringing good out of what that guy had done. And listen, it's the kindness of God. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that we soft sell sin. It doesn't mean that we compromise and do those things. But it means you and I, listen, we need to know something. We need to give people Jesus. And we need to let them know, yes, they are sinners, but he loves them and died for them and gave himself for them so they can have eternal life. So listen, that's the brightness. Now Paul kind of comes back and gets back in our face. And in 5, listen, I'm going to read all the way 5 through 10 because it's one long sentence in the original and in my Bible. And I think it's better when we get the whole thing rather than chopping it up. So start in verse 5. He says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, Paul is letting us know once again, on judgment day, you will be judged according to your works, period. That is going to happen. And here's the thing, I think a lot of people read this, and I think they think, okay, I'm going to do some work and get saved. He's not teaching, once again, he's not teaching salvation, and he's not teaching us that we can work our way to heaven. Here's what he's letting us know. You want to get to heaven on your works? Then here's what you have to do. You have to be somebody who you continually, you're doing good. You're seeking the glory of God continually, always. You're seeking to honor God always. Are you kind of getting my point? No one's going to do those things. The Bible is clear. We can't do those things. The only one who's done those things is Jesus. And then he died on a cross for our sins. So he's not telling us, listen, if you do these things, you will be saved or you will get eternal life. Now, on the flip side, though, I do think it's rather important to understand there should be fruit in our life from our experience with Jesus. I think there should be evidence. I like it when some people say, if you went to a jury trial right now, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you as a Christian? I think that's sort of a fair question, right? Because if you have a relationship with Jesus, it should bear some fruit in your life. It should be obvious to some people. And listen, people should be able to see it. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we never sin. Doesn't mean we don't. But it means we're changing. We're a work in progress. And I believe, listen, we should be getting better and better. And we could put it this way, riper and riper, right? Until we're ripe and then he'll pick us. Woo! So listen, I believe we should be moving that direction. And I don't believe that's a works salvation. I believe it's evidence that Jesus is doing something in your life. Now listen, I'm saying that, although I'm not sure that's what this teaches. I think what this is teaching, either you're going to be judged and you're either going to be perfect or you're going to be judged for every evil thing you've ever done. Judgment is coming. Did you notice he said that they're treasuring up God's wrath? Not storing up, treasuring up. That means you're building and building. And again, for those who think, oh, it won't be that bad, I'm thinking you're treasuring up God's wrath. God is pretty big. I've read the book of Revelation, and not just, listen, I'm not talking about the tribulation part. I'm talking about when he comes back and what he says people are facing. And I read that, 20 and 21, I read those sections, and I do not want to be part of that ever. I do not want to suffer the wrath of God. And I believe that's what Paul is talking about here. And listen, he's telling us it's for everyone. Did you pick this up? Here's what's kind of interesting. Salvation, what did he say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. What? For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Listen, I believe that's important. And he's laying out something there. But notice what he says here. There's judgment for everybody, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. That's rather frightening, isn't it? Because listen, you're judged by according to the light that you've been given and the light that you've rejected. And I think it's important. And in Paul's day, and we're going to read a little bit more about it. In Paul's day, a lot of the Jews thought there was never, ever going to be a Jew in hell. It's just impossible. It's impossible. If you were born a Jew, you're not going to go to hell. As a matter of fact, in one of the books of wisdom that's not part of our Bible, in one of the books of wisdom, they even wrote that Abraham sits at the gate of hell to keep any Jews from going in. It's a little bit of false hope, isn't it? It's like, number one, how's he going to stop? Halt. Do you have your ID, please? Jew or Gentile? Gentile, go. This is foolishness, isn't it? But they believe they would, listen, they believe because of their ethnicity, because of what they were born into, they would not go to hell. What does Paul say here? Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Listen, I believe in the world, I believe there's only two races of people. Those in Christ and those out of Christ, period. You know, all the other stuff doesn't matter. That's all that matters. And that's what Paul is saying here. And you're going to go, listen, you're going to go, those who are selfish and self-righteous and putting all of their hope in that, they're going to, and once again, listen what he says, when you obey unrighteousness, you're going to suffer indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul, or eternal life. You choose. You know, I don't think that's much of a choice, right? And he says, listen, it doesn't matter Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter who you are. You will face the judgment of God, the great white throne, on that day if you're outside of Christ. Now, once again, I believe we will be judged. But we will be judged in Christ. And we will be judged by what Christ has done, not by what we've done. Oh, there is a day, listen, there is a day where we're going to go to the Bema seat, according to 2 Corinthians. Here's a few passages, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, even Galatians and Romans. Listen, I see those, but I don't think that's what he's talking about here. We're going to be judged because when I read those about coming to the judgment seat of Christ, I think that's more for rewards. You're going to get rewarded for what you've done. You're not going to, listen, it's not a judgment unto condemnation. It's a reward system. It's sort of like after, what did they do after one of the big events in the Olympics? What happens? They go on a podium, right? And they go get a reward. Woohoo! Well, this is the same thing. After this life, we're going to be judged. And we're going to get rewarded for what we've done. And then here's kind of the cool thing. God has saved us. He's redeemed us. He's put His Holy Spirit in us. He's done the work. Then He's going to reward us. How crazy is that? And then, is that if I read my Bible right? We're going to cast all those rewards at His feet. Because He deserves it. So I just wanted to bring that up. I don't think He's talking about that here. I think He's talking about judgment unto condemnation. So yeah, there is a judgment coming. And if you're in Christ, you will be judged by what Christ has done. And He goes, listen, you need to know that. And when He says, you know, verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good to the Jew first. Listen, are your works good enough? Seriously. Even as a Christian, your work's good enough. I look at that and I think, man, I am so glad it's not according to my works. Because I'll confess something to you guys. I sin. I don't try to. You know, it's not like I wake up in the morning and go, man, I am going for it. But I sin. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I can run into the arms of God and confess my sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from unrighteousness. I praise God for that. But listen, if I'm going to be judged by good works, here's what I know. If it's by my works, I'm not going to get honor and peace and glory. I'm going to get wrath and indignation and those other things because I'm not good enough. and we'll read that later on. Then check out the second criteria. The first criteria for God judging is he judges according to truth. The second criteria, verse 11, for there's no partiality with God. You pick up on that? God doesn't play favorites. It's not like every Jew in the world is God's favorite. Woo! Listen, I believe he loves the Jews. I believe he picked the Jews. I believe he chose Israel, chose that place. I get all of that. I understand that. But they still have to come to God the same way we come to God. And right now, we're in the age of grace. They've got to put their faith in Jesus Christ. If they don't put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're judged according to what they've done. They're in trouble. Look at, now he goes on. He goes on. Look at verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12. He says, for as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. That's all the Gentiles. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged in the law. That's the Jews. Now skip down to verse 16, because I think 13, 14, and 15 are parenthetical. Skip down to 16. It sort of reads a little smoother. So he says, listen, those who have sinned in the law will be judged by the law in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Oh, so the third criteria, first one, is God's judging according to truth. The second one, God is impartial. The third one, he is judging in Jesus Christ. He is the judge. He's coming, and that's the third criteria that we need to understand. And notice he's going to judge men's secrets. Any of you have a secret sin? Don't raise your hands. We'll all have to raise our hands, right? He's going to judge us. See, he knows the secrets of our heart. He knows the sins that we just thought about sinning. He knows the sins that, listen, that we even fantasize about. Oh, not me. He knows. And he says, that's what's going to be judged. And I love it. He says, listen, he says, it's going to be judged, and he's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Listen, according to my gospel. I find it interesting that Paul says my gospel. Does he have a different gospel than the gospel? No. Why is he calling it my gospel? Because it's the thing that saved him. It's the thing now he possesses and he owns. It's just like us saying, my Lord, right? Hey, we embrace that gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, that's going to be the judgment. So if you're outside of Christ, you're going to be judged according to that. Now, let's look at the parenthetical. We'll come back to that, but let's look at the parentheses. So he says, whether in the law or out of the law, right? Here's what verse 12 says. In the law, you're going to be judged. Out of the law, you're going to be judged. I think that got some people's attention. I think when people read verse 12, although it wasn't verse 12, it was just part of the letter, I think they went, well, that's a little bit weird, right? Or how about this one? How many times do people tell you when you're witnessing to them, you want to share Jesus with them, how many times have you heard this? Well, what about those who have never heard, right? Those in some deep, dark place that have never heard. What about those guys? Well, here's the answer. Listen, here's the answer. He says, in the law or out of the law, verse 13, for the hearers of the law are, or for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God. So here's what he's saying. Just because you hear the law doesn't make you just. Well, we kind of all know that, right? Duh. He says, but it's the doers of the law who will be justified. Now, when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Do you hear what he says? Everybody built within them has a conscience. God set it up that way. God made it that way. And once again, we saw that, right? When we first began to unpack Romans, we saw that there's this thing called the natural revelation of God. By nature, we can know there's a God. Built within us, we know there's a God. There's that place within us where God built us to worship. And if you don't worship God, you will worship something. Whether you've ever read the Bible, whether you've ever even seen, you know, a building called a church, whether you've ever even been close to any of that, you are designed and made to worship your Creator. And if you do not worship your Creator, you will worship something else. And here's what he says. It's written in them. And so here's what he's saying. When they break the law that's there by nature, they're judged according to that. It's not like God is going to take somebody who's never heard anything about the Bible or the law that we know, the Old Testament. It's not like he's going to call them and hold them up to that standard. That law was given to Israel, not to everybody around the world, but he will hold them up to this light that he's given them. You see, the fascinating thing to me about God is God gives us light. You act on that light, you get more light. You act on that, we can call it light or revelation. You tracking with me? You act on that, you get more. You act on that, and you get more. That's called growing, and that's called changing. You act on it. And listen, when you act as somebody, you're back in, you know, someplace where you've never heard, you act on what's inside of you. Here's what I believe with all my heart. When you begin to act on that, God is going to send somebody to give you the gospel, because that's the way God works. And listen, whenever anybody tells me, what about those people who have never heard? What about those guys? Here's my pat answer, because that's all I give, pat answers. But listen, here's what I tell them. Then why don't you get saved today and go tell them about Jesus? Oh, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're really not concerned about them, are you? You're just using that for a smoke screen so you don't have to answer the questions that we're talking about you, right? And so listen, I believe, man, have you ever read the stories? Have you ever read stories where people are someplace and this person, one person, maybe even in a tribal group, has it in their heart, man, and God is impressing on them. They want to know that. And they even begin to pray, not to the God they know, to a God they don't know. And then, you know, all of a sudden, maybe over a year, 2 years, 3 years, a missionary shows up. And that person, they start telling that person about Jesus. And they go, oh, I've been praying. I love those stories. Listen, I think they're phenomenal, and I believe with all of my heart that God will only judge according to the light you've been given. But here's what else I believe with all my heart. Everybody sins against the light they've been given. Maybe not to the degree that everybody, you know, it's different degrees, different ways they do it, but they sin against that light. And when you sin against that light, you've got to deal with it. And that's all Paul is saying here, is don't sin against the light. Now, listen, I want to say something just to us. Do you understand how much light we've been given? Wow. If we're going to be judged according to the light we've been given, here's what I think. There's going to be some harsh judgment going on, right? Because, man, we have got light everywhere, don't we? I'm amazed. Listen, I got saved in the early 80s. In the early 80s, I'm saved. I'm in Bisbee. There's no Christian radio. There's no Christian TV. There's none of that going on. How can you get teaching outside of the church? Well, you got to find a way. And oh, you could send tapes back and forth and kind of get them that way. Now today, listen, now I live in an era where I have the entire Bible on my phone. I have entire Bible studies going all the way through the Bible by different people. On my phone, I carry it around. How many translations? Listen, in my pocket, I have 6 translations of the Bible. How crazy is that? We got light. We got light everywhere. And my prayer is, man, that we are taking advantage of that light. And we're letting that light influence us and affect us. And then once again, I want to get back to this thing in verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Here's the question. Are you in Christ or outside of Christ? I know the majority of us here. I believe most of us are in Christ, but you know what? I believe there's a few of us, we're just playing a game. And maybe today is the day where you're getting called out. Maybe you've been playing a game for years. Hey, I played the game for a long time. I had some people convinced I was walking with Jesus. I so wasn't walking with Jesus. And now's the time to find out. Today is the day. Listen, he's calling you out. I think this is pretty intense. Listen, I think this section is much more intense than what we looked at last week, because it's a little bit more in our face and a little bit more about us that we have to deal with things. And some of us, oh, we're saved, we're walking with Jesus, but we're still kind of judgmental. You need to repent. You need to figure that out. And you need to change and you need to repent. Because why? It's the goodness or the kindness of God that leads to repentance. That's for those, too, who get in that area where they think, I'm great, and everybody else, not so much. Hey, I've been there. I was one of those people, man. I knew I was going to heaven and I was not sure about anybody else. I kind of had an idea God created heaven for me and him. Maybe Gaynell. She was on a bubble a lot of the times. It's kind of struggling. May let you in, may not, depending. That's horrible to live that way. It's horrible. So some of us are there, and maybe not to that extreme, but you've excluded a lot of people. You need to repent today. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. God, we thank you for the ability, Lord, to read this. And Lord, I thank you that we can read it and look at it and know that we don't need to be pointing a bunch of fingers today, because all of those fingers are pointing back at us. And so, God, I pray that for those of us who need to repent, maybe getting a little bit legalistic, maybe even getting somewhat harsh, that today would be the day where you set us free from that. And we would come to that place where we can enjoy you, Lord. And we can enjoy our relationship with you. And we can have the joy of the Lord expressed through our hearts. And God, I pray now for any in here who maybe have been that moralist, as some people call this section, where they've set up a standard of morality and you're either according to that or not. And today you busted them and you showed them it's time to repent. It's time to come to Jesus. And God, touch them and open up their hearts right now. So I'm going to ask you to stay in an attitude of prayer for just another moment or two. And you know what? Maybe today God is calling you. Maybe you're that one or two or three of you who you have been just a moralist. Your whole relationship with God is based on some false sense of morality that you set up. And today you need to repent. And you need to trust in Jesus. Or maybe you're here, someone invited you and you came in and you're hearing all this and you're going, this sounds true. Sounds like I need a relationship with this Jesus you're talking about. Hey, if you, either one of those camps, right now, listen, you're not here by accident. God is calling you into his kingdom. And so if you want to begin that journey, have that relationship, I'm going to challenge you right now just to give your heart to Jesus. And I'm going to help you in a way, maybe I'm going to try and express for you what's going on in your heart and what you're thinking. We're going to say a prayer. And listen, I want you to say this prayer with me. You can say it out loud. You can say it silently. But you got to mean it. It's got to come from your heart. And you have to be sincere. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. Now I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you this morning for your forgiveness. Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and change me. Come into my heart and make me new. Today, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If you said that prayer today and you meant it sincerely, I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand so we can celebrate with you and pray for you. I see yours there in the middle in the back. God bless you. Lift those hands up and let us say, I see yours over here on my left. God bless you. I see yours too. God bless you on my left. Anyone else? Greatest decision you'll ever make. Father, we thank you for those individuals who raise their hands, Lord. And I pray right now, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon them. God, give them an understanding of the riches of your grace, the immensity of your love. And Jesus, I pray that they would know right where they're standing that they're forgiven, that their sins are forgotten, that, Lord, you wash them and cleanse them and washed away the guilt and the shame, and you've set them free from that bondage of sin. God, what a glorious, glorious day. And now they can have that relationship with you. They can walk hand in hand with their God, and they no longer have to sin, but they're free from that. So encourage them and strengthen them for all of us, God. Take us closer to your heart. God, I pray that as we look at our world, we would see it through your eyes, and our heart would beat for what your heart beats for, and that we would be able to reach our world for Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's celebrate with those who raise their hand.